A millionaire on average invests 20% of their income. So I was crazy enough when I started in my 20s to say, okay, I'm making a pretty strong income. I want to invest at least 50%
Sheesh.
of my
50?
income.
You was investing
50
50% of your income in your 20s?
for throughout my entire 20s, at least
Oh, wow.
50%. And my mentality was early and often aggressive.
I'm trying to get me a bag. I'm trying to get me a bag.
What's up? What's up? You are now listening to FY Fly the podcast, and I'm your host, Hassan Thomas, along with Remy, and we are here to share tools on how millennials can budget, save, invest, and understand student debt and credit to achieve financial freedom. If you're a high school student, college student, or someone who's interested in gaining more financial insight, this podcast is for you.
Trying to give me a bag. Give me a bag.
What's up, my FY Fly folks out there? How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing all right. Welcome to the FY Fly podcast. My name is Hassan Thomas, aka the kid that did and the man that can, baby. And today, we're going to be chopping it up with the man who has a perfect name to be a financial coach, Mr. Steven Stack, man. He's also a debt-free millionaire since the age of 31. Man, how you doing, bro? How are you?
Hey, what's good, man? I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Most definitely, bro, man. How's everything been since FinCon? Because that's where we originally linked up, man, and, met so many great people. How's everything been?
Man, it's been amazing just meeting so many like-minded people that are looking to build wealth and really trying to help others do the same, man. So just incredible.
Facts, brother. Facts, brother. Well, we no longer here at FinCon, man. We at FY Fly. And here, we like to skip the fluff and get right into the good stuff, man. So I was doing some research and I saw that about 8% of people or 8% of millionaires are black. And since we are speaking with someone in that category, I just wanted to come by to ask you, bro, what's it like being a millionaire? And is it everything that you thought about, when you were a kid thinking about, I want to be a millionaire?
Yeah, so it's actually really cool to be a millionaire, and in some ways it's a little surreal sometimes when I think about it, but I also want to say this too. So I'm thankful to say I had really awesome parents growing up, so there really wasn't a day of my life that I didn't feel wealthy, because I was always felt rich in, love and joy and peace, which I believe actually were the major things that set me up to be able to build wealth later on down the road, because I didn't come from a ton of money, but I do feel like I came from a ton of wealth.
So with and I think that's something that we need to touch on there is the importance of, because not everybody has great parents, and I do have great parents as well, and I see how beneficial it has been even going to college, seeing the difference from what I'm saying, seeing the people, who was raised a certain way or raised a different way, and seeing that actions. So like touch on how important it is to have a parent figure, or if you don't have that, finding some type of mentor, finding somebody that you can look up to and aspire to be like, even though if you don't have that certain person around you.
it's really hard to be what you've never seen. And like even for me in my journey of wealth building, okay, I can be wealthy and keep things really low and under wraps, because I'm just more of a chill guy anyway, but I felt a real passion and desire to let people know, hey, we do exist. There are people that look like you, that are wealthy, that are actually cool people, that like to have fun, like to kick it and
That
chill. It
aren't the
doesn't
big
have
time athletes, big time
right,
rappers. Yeah.
right, 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 right. That just look like everyday people, but even though I may be ordinary, I've been able to do a lot of things consistently to get extraordinary results. So yeah, just having people in your life that you see consistently, that you can touch, feel, grab, and see that are doing it, man, it's hard to quantify the impact, man, but it's huge.
I wanted to ask you, what are some of the financial habits that you really focused on to become that millionaire?
Yeah, so the first thing was I knew that I had to live within my means, meaning that I couldn't mm-hmm. spend more money than what I actually made. So yeah. that was just core and foundation. You can only do that for so long before you get in trouble financially. So that was the first thing. Like, I knew that. I knew I needed to save some money. So I'm a data guy. So I like to give people like data and statistics so they can have something to build
off of. Numbers don't lie, man. Come on.
Right, right. So the average millionaire invests, or a millionaire on average invests 20% of their income.
Okay.
So
20%.
So 20% is what the average millionaire invests of their income. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, like 10% is pretty good start. 15, yeah. you're doing pretty good. Anything from 20 or above, you're starting to do exceptional. Mm-hmm. So I was crazy enough when I started in my 20s to say, okay, I'm making a pretty strong income. I want to invest at least 50%.
Sheesh.
Of my 50? Income.
You was investing 50% of your income in your 20s?
Throughout my entire 20s. At least 50%. And my mentality was early and often aggressive. Let me get after it as soon as I can. Because just to kind of give people the timeline, when I started in the working world, so I studied engineering in school and then took an engineering role coming out of school.
Makes when sense. I came That's where that out, bag at. Engineering right, and tech. Right. Makes it. Right. Makes it.
Right. So when I came out, it was in that 08, 09 time frame. So think like housing market crisis, Great Recession. So I knew enough to know, hey, if times are really this bad, then
everything
I need
on
to
discount.
Be, right. Everything's on discount. I need to be pouring money in to as many assets as possible. So those were things right out of the gate that I did and said, okay, I don't want to waste this opportunity of having a strong income and just blowing it on stuff that appears to look good, but doesn't do me any good.
So, bro, when you were investing 50% of your income, because I know my listeners may hear that and like, 50%? I can't do that. I can't do that. But like, talk to us a little bit about the balance of your, you know, your day-to-day life. Did you still go out? Did you still, you know, what did that look like while you were investing and saving? Like, talk to us about the balance that you had.
Yeah, so...
Or was there a balance? Or were you just locked in? Oh, we going to get to financial freedom and then we going to have a balance at 31. You know, talk to it.
Right. So for me, like I'm a more simple kind of guy, but I was super simple then. So like coming out of school, like entertainment for me was like, oh man, y'all can just go catch a movie or go watch a game. You know, it didn't have to be anything super fancy or do a ton of it. But like when I came out, I was actually living in the Midwest. I was living in Ohio. So this will kind of give people a time frame. I'm in Ohio, and this was before LeBron made the decision to go to Miami.
Okay.
So sometimes for fun, what I would do, I would go to like a Cavs game, like see the Cleveland Cavs play back in the day, or you know, get a bite to eat with friends, like go catch movies that were coming out at that time. But I'd also look for ways to just have fun that didn't necessarily have to cost a ton of money. So maybe I was doing game night, so playing like cards and board games, you know what I mean? But just having a good time with good people.
With good people, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, even though it was funny because like, in a lot of ways, people that were around my age, I was making more than most of the people around my age. But I'm like, but I don't have to spend like I'm making more. We can still kick it like people that are like 22, 23, 24 years old. You know what I mean? So that was kind of my mentality then, is I'll shine a little bit more later.
Okay. And I do appreciate that. And I, cause honestly, I feel like it's a bit harder now, you know, with social media. You know, we're seeing, you know, you talked about 23, 24, you know, but these age groups now, and even young, we're seeing them in Barbados. We're seeing them in Cancun the next week. We seeing them in Italy the following week. So we like, how these folks our age traveling all these places, pulling up in the McLarens, we like, what is going on? You know what I'm saying? So I think with this new social media age, it is very difficult to see all these things. And then, you know, like, I feel like keeping up with the Joneses is nowadays is more like keeping up with the Kardashians. You know what I'm saying? Like, try to keep up with these folks is something that's real, you know. And I wanted to get your opinion on, how can young folks listening to this, you know, of course we're going to see it, but how can we not let that affect us in our wealth building journey?
Yeah, so a lot of times when people say the word diet, so saying, hey, you know, you got to watch your diet, they are only thinking about food. But what I would say is your diet is really everything that you consume, everything that you see, everything that you listen to. So if you have a steady diet of seeing people flossing, you know what I mean? Or like stunting and saying, oh man, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Man, I done pulled up in the Barbados, like you said, I'm out in Machu Picchu, you know what I mean? I'm in the Maldives, you know what I mean? Come on. Got walking around the hut, you know what I mean? We killing the game out here. Look at how I'm crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
That can move you more towards consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality is the greatest superpower you have of being young is that you're young and you have time for your investments to really grow and compound.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it may seem difficult or it may seem far off of, nah, man, I want to get it now. I would say maybe you can do some stuff now that you enjoy.
Yeah.
But push more stuff or more of your resources towards building right now while you're young, because you could potentially run up a bag and still be relatively young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and just so people know, like, I had a lot of things just go way better than I expected. My plan was I wanted to be quote unquote retire up by age 45. It just so happened to happen by the time I was age 31 that I was in that kind of position to say I can really choose what kind of work I want to do.
So do you think it was, because you even mentioned compounding interest, do you think your time was ramped up due to compounding interest, or what do you think, you know, really contributed to your early success?
So it was a few things. The discipline of living within my means and aggressively putting money aside. So like the sheer volume of the amount of money I was putting aside, the consistency to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Plus you got to think about the environment that we were in. We were coming off of one of the worst downturns since the Great Depression back in 1929. So like things were super depressed down, which by the way, as of the time of this recording, the market is retreating backward as we speak. So it's presenting potential opportunity to really look to build wealth. So it was the habits that I had, the amount of money I was investing, and the market environment that I was in, to where I'm investing in the stock market and in real estate, that put me in a position to where things rapidly grew even faster than I could have expected.
Okay. That makes sense. And I really want to, you know, harp down on that interest, because I don't feel like a lot of young folks really understand compounding interest and just regular interest and how it can work against us or how it can also work for us. So can you explain the two ways that interest can really work for us. Like, you already did kind of a compounding interest, but explain a little, go a little bit deeper into interest for those young folks listening.
Yeah, so the reality is compound interest is happening one way or the other, just meaning that if you think about a snowball at the top of a mountain that's really small and you start to roll it down, at first it's small and it may be picking up a little bit more snow. But once it starts getting close to the bottom of that mountain, it is a huge...
That just start like, rolling, yeah.
right. Just like monstrosity, like this huge thing. That's how I want you to think about compound interest. And you want it to be working for you, not against you. And so ways that it can be working against you would be like, say, if you have high interest debt, like credit cards.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got a credit card that they're hitting you for 27% and you're barely making payments or only making minimum payments. Well, guess what? That snowball that is going down the mountain and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it's rolling down to run you over.
So you know what I mean? You're at the bottom of that joint, buddy.
right. You know what I mean? It's like the cartoons. It's rolling you over, and you just keep seeing your body like keep rolling over. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's 100%. The mental picture that I want you to think about when it's working against you of compound interest, which, by the way, while it's destroying you, it's building wealth for these credit card companies.
Yep.
So your debts or your liabilities are someone else's assets.
And that's crazy when you think about it like that.
Right. But we want to be on the other side of that equation to where we're rolling downhill and our wealth is growing. And now things that are getting in the way of us getting to financial freedom or financial independence. Mm-hmm. Now that big snowball is just blasting all the distractions and hurdles and burdens out of your way, because you'll still have stuff happen. Like, even as you're building, there'll be things that are unexpected that could be bad that happen, but you just got that force of compound interest working for you so much that it doesn't take you out. If anything, the wealth building just energy that you have going is blasting that stuff out of the way for you.
Facts. But I do have one more question for you, my man. I'm going to read you two quotes, and I need you to tell me which one is more accurate in your opinion. All right?
All right. I'm ready.
All right. Bet. So the first quote is, "More money, more problems," like Biggie. And the second quote is, "Money can't buy happiness." Which one do you believe is more accurate?
Ooh.
Gotta make them think, baby. Gotta make them think.
Yeah, that is a tough one. Like, I've got bones to pick with both of them.
Break it down.
So here's what I'm gonna say. I probably have more issue with someone saying more money, more problems. Because that's just a really negative way to view life in the world of saying, like, okay, I got more, so now I'm gonna have more problems. Versus if I had to tweak that quote, I would say more money, different problems.
Okay. And why is that?
Because in a lot of ways, having more wealth gives you more flexibility, allows for more opportunity, gives you more time. Like, one of the best benefits of wealth is having the time to think.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? So to just equate it to more money, more problems, I probably have more of a bone to pick with that versus if I say money can't buy happiness. So, like, in the essence of the quote, it doesn't buy you directly more happiness, but it can allow you to facilitate a life that has more happiness in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we just got to be a little more honest about the conversation on that of, I know I said this earlier, of that I felt wealthy every day of my life because of, you know, like, just some of my upbringing and just feeling very rich and wealthy in like intangible things, you know, like love and joy and peace and things like that.
Yeah.
So there were wealthy things that already existed, but I could make a strong argument that in many ways those things enhanced when I did get more, because it just, the more wealth I had, it put more of a magnifying glass on what was already there for me.
Yes.
So hopefully
and
that makes
you
sense.
You already had, like you said, that love, that joy, so that money magnified who you truly were already.
Yes.
You know, but I do think something that you said when you were like, you know, having that money and that time freedom gives people the more time to think. Well, some people think negative, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people had those negative thoughts. So if you give it up more time, of course it's going to be a negative situation, because that was already in you.
Right.
So echoing to back what you say, I agree 100% on both ends. It really has, like, that money can't buy happiness, but it can put you in a position to be happy. But if you're not already happy inside or joyful inside, then that money is just going to magnify the hate. It's going to magnify the envy or whatever, you know, negative feelings that you may be feeling.
Right. Which is why something that I often say when I'll define wealth is I'll say that I believe that wealth goes beyond just what's in our bank account to the person that we're becoming. Because when you get there, quote unquote, of whatever success is for you, whether it's the first million, the first 5 million, the first 10 million, maybe it's the first 100,000, you know, like whatever people's number is, if you weren't happy along the journey, it's going to be really disappointing when you actually get to those different milestones. So I don't want to set people up for failure.
That's a gem. Because and I'm glad that we talked about that balance in your life earlier, you know, finding, you know, free or low cost things to do, you know, go out to movies with friends or having a good time with good people, you know, enjoying that process. Because imagine if you wouldn't have done none of that and you would have just been locked in and had no type of balance. And you're just, instead of investing 50, you invest in 80 and you're not doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? And then you finally reach that milestone. And then just like you said, you disappointed because you're like, oh, so this is what it's like to be a millionaire?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Like you want to build really in every way. So like even for me, like health is really important for me, man. I'll exercise regularly, which it's great for tons of things. Like just for me to be around longer, to feel better. When I am living, I have more energy towards the wealth building efforts that I may be pursuing. And just it's a stress reliever. You know what I mean? Like there's so many benefits that come from just trying to build wealth in every way, build wealth in the quality of the relationships you have with people, man. Like for those who are listening, like I feel incredibly grateful for the relationships that I have, like the people in my life that have encouraged me along the way and that I've been able to encourage too. Like it's hard to put a price tag on that. You know what I mean?
Price.
But sometimes people, they'll gas you into just thinking like, oh man, just shut yourself in a room, forget everybody. You know what I mean? Cut everybody off, which, hey, if they're negatively impacting you, I understand that. But like, to just get rid of everybody and, you know, it's just all do it yourself. It's like, man, well, what happens when you get there and you don't have anybody to enjoy it with? So
then folks get depressed and, you know, all those different things, man. But super happy to have you on here, man. You dropped so many gems that if my audience not only just listens, but actually applies and implements this information, it's definitely going to change their life, man. So let everybody know where they could find you from, let everybody know where they can find you at. If you got any final gems for us, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll give you where you can find me, and then I will lay out a quote for people to think of. Maybe I'll give you a bonus one. Maybe I'll do two.
Yes.
But all right. So my website is just stevelstack.com. That's Steven with a V, S-T-E-V-E-N, L-Stack, S-T-A-C-K.com. So that's one way to connect with me if you have questions or potentially even want to work together. together. I'm also on social media. I'm most active on Instagram. My handle is at Stacking with Stack. So S-T-A-C-K-I-N-G with Stack. So you can find me there as well. It's the same handle on TikTok. Same thing if you're looking for me on Facebook. My Twitter is just Stephen L. Stack. Which, by the way,
the perfect name to be a financial coach, man. I told y'all.
Right. Thanks. Yes, I was going to say, by the way, Stack is actually my government name. Like, that's actually my last name. And if you do follow me on those things, which I'd encourage you to, I'm regularly sharing things to just try to help people along the way, give them good information as well as just encouragement. But I won't hit you up for any crypto trading. So watch out for the scammers. That's probably not me. And if you're unsure, if you ask for a voice note and it's actually me, I will actually respond with a voice note to you. But those are ways to connect with me. And I wanted to just kind of give a quote for people to chew on that I'd heard fairly recently, that it says, when you're born, you look like your parents, but when you die, you look like your decisions. And so I'm going to say that one more time. When you're born, you look like your parents, but when you die, you look like your decisions. So keep making consistently good decisions. It doesn't mean you're always going to perfectly get it right. Don't worry. I did not perfectly get it right. And yet it's been able to work out well for me. But just be consistent in making good decisions over time. And I think you'll win.
That's huge. That's huge, because we definitely need to be more aware of our decisions and our choices. Because, you know, I think I saw this on your page as well. Where we were 5 years ago or where we are now is because of the decisions and the choices that we made 5 years ago. And then where we'll be in 5 years is because of the choices and decisions that we're making right now. Yep. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're making the right decision.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yes, sir, man. Like I said, man, thank you so much for joining the show. We rocked out today. And everybody listening, you know what I need y'all to do? Stay safe, stay invested, and stay FYI fly. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you all for listening to FYI Fly, the podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more financial literacy insights with our special guest. Please visit our website, social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at FYI Fly Podcast. That's FYI FLI Podcast. See y'all next week and stay fly.